back to Change Ed.
Change Ed.
Change Ed. Oh, man, now you made me do it. Change the...
Change Ed.
I don't even know what I say anymore.
You said Change Ed. You said it, right.
We are the number one rated, world-renowned education podcast for educators by educators. And together, all together, including whatever title that is that you're using, we're changing the landscape of education one episode at a time. I'm your host, Andrew Kuhn, education consultant from Montgomery County Intermediate Unit. And here with me is...
Patrice Semichek, also an educational consultant from Montgomery County Intermediate Unit.
Patrice, we are super lucky today because we have a guest from Brain Pop Science. She has a lot of education history, specifically in science. Welcome, Michelle Neustadt.
Thank you so much for having me today.
We are super thrilled to have you. And I got to tell you, in all of our conversations with the Brain Pop people, is that a thing? Brain Pop people?
Mm-hmm. I believe they're people.
They have told us how excited they are to have you be part of the expo and for you to be the person who is presenting at the expo, specifically because not only are you a science educator, have you been in the world, you understand how it works, you understand this, specifically the science and the new pedagogy and instructional practices that are out, but also you have children that are specifically in school in this middle school realm. So this is really
getting
personal
to
you.
The middle school realm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Getting there.
They are getting, you know,
they're like, getting there. They'll be there in a few years.
Tomato, absolutely. Tomato. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, where in the state are you? And why don't you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So I am in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So western part of the state. I was a middle and high school science teacher in New York City. And then I did my graduate work looking at how we can use educational technologies and different online curricular activities to support multidimensional learning for all of our learners. And then I've been working in the ed tech space for over a decade now, doing different STEM products and different STEM experiences. So starting off at a small startup in the Pittsburgh area, and then I was working in nonprofit space doing efficacy research and innovation and looking how we can use some of our personalized learning approaches to sort of create a Google Maps for learning. If you make a wrong turn, you get back on your own route. And then I've been lucky enough to be at Brain Pop for about 3 years now, right before the Brain Pop Science product launched. So we're now 3 years into our middle school product, and I am the senior director of learning design for our STEM products.
Wow. That is a bajillion jobs. And it feels like
it's
a short amount of time, and I have questions about all of them. You taught in New York City?
Yes.
That's awesome. How did you get started there? Were you up in New York or?
I actually, I took kind of a strange route to education. So I had taught skiing all throughout high school. Nice. I had this amazing English teacher who ran the local mountain, and he got us into it. And I loved teaching, and it stuck with me. I did it all through college. And then I came out of college and I was working in New York City as a metals and mining analyst. I was a geology major, and it wasn't for me. And I was like, what was my passion? And I was lucky enough to fall into a teaching job. It was a 1-year replacement. And I was like, this is my thing.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity to teach middle schoolers and high schoolers. And I taught earth science. And then we also had experiential education, and kids went kayaking and winter camping. And we combined that with the sciences. And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. I never had this growing up. And I got into teaching, and then I had so many questions that came up as I was teaching. You know, what happens if a learner gets blocked and they just are struggling with a concept? How can I help ask questions and work through that? And as I was teaching more and more, I had more and more questions. So I went back to grad school to try to answer some of them.
I love how you apply the scientific process to your learning and the education itself. And that you said I had so many questions. That is applaudable, especially as we're learning more and more about steels, what it looks like, how we can teach differently. You really embrace this.
Yeah.
And I really love, too, that you're all up in the science, like, let me science out. And
yes,
I really appreciate that part, and that you love education. I love that combination. I actually feel like sometimes it can go one or the other way, right? People really love science or they really love education. And it sounds like you love both.
Yes, is
huge. We've talked about it. We're excited to have Brain Pop Science be one of our featured presenter partners at the expo this year. And my question is, you're going to be the feature presenter there representing BrainPop, talking about multidimensional learning and our new STIL standards. I'm wondering if you can kind of give us a teaser for what could we expect or what we hear from you on that day.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited to be one of the presenters. So what we're going to be looking at is the idea of the new STIL standards and how can we approach that in our classrooms. So we're now changing this idea where students memorize into the idea of students become critical thinkers, the mm-hmm. doers, the scientists. They're not going to act like scientists. They are the scientists. Mm-hmm. So this is the premise of how we built BrainPop Science. It's a middle school comprehensive supplemental curriculum. And the whole idea is every investigation that we do starts with a relevant and engaging guiding question. So we want to look at the learner and say, What are your previous experiences? What prior knowledge are you coming in with? And let's start making connections. So for example, we ask guiding questions like, why can't you unbake a cake? Or why does the International Space Station not fall from the sky? So we start asking these questions so that learners start seeing the world around them and that relevance and that phenomenon. So we offer real world phenomenon. And then as learners go through, they become the observers. And this is where the multidimensionality really comes in, because in our interactives, students are practicing the practices, like we say. So they're modeling, they're using and developing models, they're asking questions, they are analyzing data. So they make all these observations as they're going through, and we're asking these scaffolded questions to get them as far as we can take them. Like, think about Vygotsky, our zone of proximal development. So if you think about the teacher and the interactive experience as a knowledgeable other, we're bringing each learner to a higher level. And then at the end, every investigation finishes with a claim, evidence, and reasoning. Okay. So we're asking the learners to synthesize with a high cognitive demand task, and they have to write an evidence-based statement. So is it an argument? Is it an explanation? And they use all those observations that they made throughout the investigation to answer the question, why can't you unbake a cake? So that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about. How do we bring this all together and not just teach, you know what, I'm going to teach chemical reactions here, I'm going to teach analysis of data here and patterns here. We're going to bring it all together and say, it's so much more impactful if we can teach it all together as three dimensions, rather than each dimension individually. And we'll show that through BrainPop Science investigations.
Nice.
What I thought was really fascinating about everything you said, which there were a lot of really fascinating things about what you said, and that was magical, was that you so fluently talked about it, right? Like, you were like hitting on all these buzzwords. I couldn't write them down fast enough because they are educational buzzwords, but it was like literally eating a cake for you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no big deal. We're talking about this as part of the conversation. Actually, what I thought about when you said, how come we can't unbake a cake? I was like, my son would say, well, don't I unbake the cake when I eat it and then my stomach digests it? That's how he was raising things.
That would be his response. I love that question. See, kids ask the best questions.
Yeah.
I actually get some of our guiding questions from my kids. They ask these questions about the world around them, and then we end up taking parts of them and seeing how we can apply the science.
When you started it out, right out of the gate, you mentioned three-dimensional learning, but the way that you said it is different than how we usually do, but it's exact same meaning. And I love that. So I wanted to emphasize that you said from going from memorizing to critical thinkers to doers. You mentioned all three of the dimensions. We talk about knowing, thinking, yep, and doing. And the way that you said it was very articulate. And I appreciate you calling that out immediately. And also how you were talking about scaffolded questions, mm-hmm, right? Building up the learner so that they can find their way to success, but also encouraging actually kind of all three of those parts. We want you to think critically. What do you already know? How can we use a background knowledge of being a critical thinker and then working through and doing it all and supporting that as well? You know, Michelle, a really big part of STIELS and this mindset behind STIELS is integrating the different aspects. So it's no longer about the silos of science, technology, engineering, environmental literacy, and sustainability, but how do we put them together? So in your experience and the work you're doing at BrainPop Science, how does that come together? What does that look like? What does that integration piece look like?
Often in the past, like when I was a teacher, I was told, okay, do an engineering project with your kids. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty broad. Probably all of us have done the egg drop or built a bridge with toothpicks. How do we take that and say, okay, well, what science concepts actually apply? A lot of our research shows that teachers actually do a great job introducing engineering in the classroom. It's connecting the actual build to a scientific concept. So we have engineering projects in BrainPop Science. And the idea is we start with the idea idea of what is the problem statement rather than what are we building. So if you start with the problem statement, you can actually get to a point where you say, okay, for example, one of ours is you've dropped your keys down a sewer. Mm-hmm. How am I going to get them out? And then all of a sudden we introduce all these constraints and different criteria that the kids have to hit. But before we even say it's an engineering project, we actually sit in my kitchen and we build prototypes, and we have to have three unique solutions for every project we introduce, because it's not actually about the solution. It's about the design process. So mm-hmm. how does a learner brainstorm? Then they think about it. Okay, I've brainstormed these ideas. Now we're going to narrow it. We're going to funnel it down mm-hmm. and say, okay, well, you have these great ideas, but you only have these materials to use. And then we're going to say, okay, well, you need to start thinking about simple machines to actually build this. So we're going to go into a research phase and have you do some reading or interact with the simulation so you actually see some of the science with pulleys and levers and those ideas. Mm-hmm. And then once you have that, now you can design. And once you design, then you can prototype and iterate and see where you maybe didn't quite get it, which is totally fine. And if a learner gets it, let's push them a little bit more. We call it the rat constraint. The rat moved your keys. So now you have to do something else to get them out of the sewer. Our focus on engineering is not just, hey, come up with a solution. It's there are many solutions. And the solution often actually isn't the most important part. It's part of the design and figuring out it's okay to fail.
Yeah.
But let's iterate and figure out where we went wrong and how we can improve. For us, that's the fun part of the engineering. And we love building them. I mean, that's probably the most fun we have, is sitting there with toothpicks and paper clips mm-hmm. and tape and figuring out, okay, you can only have, you know, 1 meter of tape, because we know middle school students love tape, right? So everything can be put together that way.
Who doesn't? So. I love that when you're designing it, and this is something that I think we need to continue to keep in mind, is that when we're coming up with engineering problems or even phenomena-based things, I like the idea of having three viable options that we've come up with so that we know that there are different ways to create a solution to the problem. I think that's something that I know I as a teacher would struggle with. I'd be like, okay, I have one or two and I'm good to go, yeah. right? Like, okay, I yeah. know the direction I want to go, and I would create whatever I was creating based off of that. And then I think the opportunity for at least three is really huge, and allowing kids to continue to have like open-minded conversations with each other about this is my solution versus this is my solution. And if we as adults who are a little bit more schooled out of the box thinking
yes.
can come up with three, then if we can come up with three, I'm sure kids could come up with like six or 12, right?
Like that's exactly. We've mm-hmm. seen like everything in between. It's also really challenging for learners. And, you know, I know this from my own perspective as a learner. There was always, well, what is the right answer? How do mm-hmm. do I do school? How do mm-hmm. I give the teacher what they're expecting, versus, wow, this is like kind of an uncomfortable space sometimes for teachers and learners. Like there's not a single answer,
yeah.
rather it's the process to get there. And it's been really interesting to watch it unfold. We've watched it in several classrooms, and some learners really embrace it. There's a creative side, and mm-hmm. we see some of our learners who sometimes might be struggling with mm-hmm. certain things. They come up, they step up the discourse. They're like, well, if we tweak it this way, this could happen.
Yeah.
And some of our learners who often are like, have it, they're like, this is like really uncomfortable. Wait, what do you want me to do? You didn't give me enough direction.
Yeah.
So it's a very cool way to sort of introduce engineering in a very safe and like low stakes environment.
Yeah. And make them comfortable at being mm-hmm. uncomfortable.
Exactly. It's
something that we need to be cognizant of.
Michelle, we've really enjoyed having you on the show today. You've done a fantastic job. Very easy conversation. Obviously, you found your way to be invited back again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And what I'd like to do for you is give you the second to last thought.
Here it is.
So I'm going to give you a minute to think about what that is. And while you're thinking, I'm going to fill the airwaves with a thought based off everything that you've
the
been sharing.
The third to last thought, if we.
Yeah. I get the odd thoughts, you get the even thoughts.
You can't let someone else have the last thought.
Does that mean I'm odd myself?
I'm not going to answer that.
Okay, thank you for staying quiet. So my third thought is that you talked a lot about the product versus the process. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a small but very significant paradigm shift mm-hmm. and change in the way that we think about things, not just in the classroom, but in society and the way that we were raised. We just recently saw the Super Bowl, so I'm going to reference the Super Bowl. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs won. They were very excited and passionate that they won. But for them, it was about the journey. Whenever they talked about it, they would talk about their journey and how it went. And they said, people doubted us and said we couldn't do this and said we couldn't do that. that wasn't just about that moment. It was about all the entire process and the entire journey. And so going off that, right, champions, if you will, they have this whole process that gets them to that spot and that moment, but they don't just talk about that moment. They talk about the entire journey, the entire route that they go. So I really appreciate how you were talking about that and pointing that out. And I think, it, again, it's a societal thing, especially for us as adults. How can we focus on this process and know that it's going to continue to get better? It's going to continue to evolve. I don't need to achieve perfection, right? It's going to continue to grow. There are very few people in football who like hit perfection and then retire and come back. Tom Brady might be one of them, but mostly that doesn't happen. If we feel like we hit perfection, then how can we reevaluate or how can we reassess? Sometimes this is time to reinvent yourself. I've stalled. I've bought time for you to think about your second to last thought. And what would that be?
Tying it back to the journey. I love the sports analogy. My kids are super into sports and we're at end of the season right now in our hockey and skiing. And it's like, well, if we win this tournament, we'll be the champs. But I actually went back and I showed them the videos. They just started playing hockey in this learn to play program we have. And they didn't know how to skate. And it's just been 6 months and like showing that progress. Mm-hmm. If we had an opportunity as teachers and learners to actually sit back and have that metacognitive moment of, wow, look where I was, look where I've come. We always, not always, but often just look at the results in the moment, right? We have that recency bias. And it made me think about my initial years as a classroom teacher. If I went back and looked at my first year teaching, I probably would cringe. I definitely would cringe.
I always say I want to apologize to the first 3 years of kids that I had because I was still figuring it out.
And I thought I was crushing it. And yeah, I was. For sure. I was passionate. Yeah. I showed up every day with a great game plan and all that. But I just learned I couldn't anticipate everything. I couldn't anticipate the questions, that's with Steels. Like I look and one of the main goals is like, let's help develop the next group of critical thinkers, scientific thinkers. They don't all have to be scientists, but they have to be able to look at data. They have to be able to see a situation and see multiple sides and make this like connection and synthesize and draw conclusions. So if we can really say to teachers and all of us, as we start implementing this, it's not going to be perfect as we start, but the attempt is going to be really good. And if we can reflect each year, each semester on how we implemented, what worked really well, what didn't, that's going to benefit our learners. And our learners should do that too, because this is going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to sit down at their first summative assessment and be like, what just happened? These questions are so different than I'm used to. So we all have to give a little grace because we're not going to be great at it to start, just like we expect our kids in sports and all that to progress. And that perfection piece, none of us hit it, but we can strive for it.
Right. I don't think you need to close it. I think she said all the things, but you're going to anyway.
That's my one job. I have one job. That's it. That is the
opening
job.
And closing. That's Andrew's job.
So Michelle, we really have enjoyed having you on. Michelle, I want to say this. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We're very excited to be partnering with you and with Brain Pop Science for this Science Expo on Tuesday, April 23rd.
Such a fun team. I've never had a not fun experience with people from Brain Pop.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Everybody is really positive and happy and enjoyable. And actually, I wrote down what I wanted to say. This was like the whole group is they're passionate brain poppers.
We are brain poppers.
I copyrighted that, so you can use it, but I would expect royalties. In closing, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. Again, thank you for coming here and being here. And I think the important thing to remember is it's the journey, not the destination. On behalf of the entire Change Ed team, we want to remind everyone to use the product as a reason to embark on your process.
And if you want to learn more about the expo or Change Ed, we want you to go to learn.mciu.org/changeed.
Yes.
And subscribe. Don't do
and
it.
Subscribe.
Don't do it.
We
Stop.
Want them to subscribe.
I'm allowed to have the last word once every 4 months.
I agree. You are allowed.
Okay, bye.